Around the world on RyderCup.com and the official Ryder Cup app. This is Ryder Cup Radio, presented by Econocom.
Hello and welcome to Le Golf National and our official preview show ahead of the 2018 Ryder Cup.
Wow, he's holding it! What a statement from Rory McIlroy!
In it goes! That's Tiger Woods! That is Tiger Woods! What a roar!
Good! Wow, magnifique again! That's an eagle! What a character, Sergio!
The best players in the world have descended on Paris this week, and Rory McIlroy says the European team only have one thing on their minds.
Obviously, we want to regain the Ryder Cup. We did it at Celtic Manor in 2010, and we want to do it again. You know, the Americans are bringing that Ryder Cup over with them on the plane, and we're hopefully going to make sure that it doesn't go back with them on Monday again. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
The United States are the holders, though, and Phil Mickelson says they'll be fighting to keep hold of that coveted trophy.
We have a quality team. We have great leadership. We have every opportunity to succeed, but we have to perform. We still have to go out and play some great golf to achieve that. But if we were to do that, it would be something I would remember and cherish the rest of my life.
You'll hear from both captains, plus all the big names, right here on our official preview of the 42nd Ryder Cup from Le Golf National. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman. It's the 42nd Ryder Cup, and we're in continental Europe for only the second time. Of course, Valderrama in 1997, now in 2018 in Paris. I'm Richard Kaufman, alongside former Ryder Cup winner Gordon Brown Jr., former PGA Tour professional Carl Paulson, and veteran golf broadcaster and commentator Ron Jones. It's getting closer. There's still a little distance between the first tee Friday and where we are right now, but Gordon, there's no doubt the excitement continues to build.
The excitement has been exceptional today. I was on the first tee and there was only 200 people in the stand, which can take just under 7,000. But I mean, the people around the tee, I mean, Sergio and Rose and I can't remember the other guy, they came bouncing down the path and jumped onto the tee. It was really, really mind-blown, even on a Wednesday morning. So this is building up to be some spectacle. The golf course and the setup is unbelievable for spectators, and I think this is going to be the wow factor for the Ryder Cup. It's going to be extraordinary.
Yeah, for the first time ever, every single player in the top 10 of the world rankings is at this event, the 42nd Ryder Cup, being played on the Albatross course at the Golf National. We're in the suburb of Saint-Quentin on Yvelines, which is 20 miles southwest of Paris, not too far from Versailles. Ron, what can we expect from this golf course?
I think we can expect great match play. You know, it's a golf course which is absolutely perfect for match play. It's wonderfully set up, as Gordon's just been saying. It's perfectly manicured. I spoke yesterday to Dustin Johnson, for example, and he was full of praise for the course. The first time he'd played it, played in the practice round yesterday, and he was full of praise for it. Said the greens were rolling superbly. So the players have no excuses, not that they'll need any excuses. It's really now all set up, as Gordon's been saying, for a great contest between two teams. I suspect the United States are just favourites. It's an immensely strong team in depth. But Europe, they have a huge reputation in the Ryder Cup for producing teams rather than individuals, even though individuals at times have done extraordinarily well. And of course, let's also remember, the United States haven't won on European territory for 25 years. So they've got really something to prove, haven't they? I think it's going to be an absolutely fantastic contest over 3 days.
Carl, I know you've looked at the course. Any particular favourite holes of yours out there?
Well, all I know is I would not want to play the fourth hole from the back tees. I mean, that hole is absolutely brutal. It's a little bit of a dogleg left. It's uphill. It's 490 yards. And if you get in any one of the three bunkers, you have a zero chance of getting it on the green from there. That is a really, really difficult hole. But that's the beauty of match play, right? I don't care where they put the pins. I don't care if the pins are easy. I don't care if they're hard, because it's just mano a mano, or, you know, two on two. And it doesn't matter what happens if it's windy or it's rainy, because you're playing one match and that's it right there. And I just, I love this whole scene, and I'm really fired up for it.
Yeah, I mean, and let alone the history that is going to be made on 15 and 18 here at Le National. Unbelievably tough golf course. 18 is not the longest golf hole in the world. You place it off the tee, and you're probably going in with 9-iron, maybe 7-iron. But that green is a clover-shaped green with lots of bendy bits and pin on the right-hand side, or the pin on the front right. I meant a curvy green. You know what I mean?
We know
the
what you meant,
around. Exactly what you mean, Gordon.
And so, you know, we talk about holes that have to be long to be exciting, but 18 could be unbelievable. There's going to be history made here, serious history.
Well, the 18th has been a pivotal hole in the last three Ryder Cups. I've got written down Medina. The US had 9 matches come to the 18th hole, one down or even, and lost every one of them. Mm-hmm. Very different story, of course, a couple of years ago. So, I mean, the 18th will be crucial. Then throw in the fact that hole that you're describing right there, it's going to be huge excitement in any game that comes down to that final hole. Well, after playing it for the first time on Tuesday, Tiger Woods had this assessment of the course here at the Golf Nacional.
The golf course was very much on par with what Jim has been describing, and it's going to be not exactly set up like it was at Hazeltine. You know, it's a little bit tighter. There is quite a bit of rough, and the greens are extremely deep. Some of the greens are, you know, 50s. I think one of them is like 58 yards deep. So very different setup, and it's going to be a fun event for us.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event to watch and us talk you through it as well. Dave Farah is another of the famous holes here at Le Golf National.
Yeah, the first hole, 419 yards, par 4, and here's what the players will face on Friday morning. They'll look up towards the water and they'll play a rescue club up into the middle of the fairway at a preordained spot, leaving them the right yardage for the green. And then, of course, it'll be a lofted one over that water, hoping to get it close with plenty of hazards guarding that green. Water to the left, rough and a slope to the right of the green. But it sounds easy, doesn't it, for these top players? But then you look behind you. You look up at a stand, 7,000 people will be in that. And not just that, but music will be blaring over this first tee to add to the considerable atmosphere. And then you think of 11 teammates as well who'll be relying on your every move. And all you can say come Friday morning, no pressure, lads.
or maybe bon chance, because you're going to need a bit of luck, aren't you? I mean, there's no doubt about it, Gordon. That first tee, it's going to be intimidating. You've been there. Your first Ryder Cup, what, 85?
87.
87, Muirfield Village.
Yes. Yeah, it's incredibly daunting because all your preparation, you lead up to making the team in all that, and you've almost, just because you're not put in that position ever, are standing up, playing for your Ryder Cup team, and you've got to tee the ball up. It really is a very daunting, for me, in 87, it was incredibly daunting, but it's been risen up to a height of excitement now that is beyond the pale. The feeling we had at Glen Eagles there, the crowd were incredible, and that we're asking golfers to come up and play to their best. It really is a massive ask.
Gordon, can I ask you something? Yes. And Carl too, for that matter. We keep talking about the difficulty of the first tee and all the pressure, all the tension, whatever. Now, how do you cope with it? This is the question, isn't it, after all? How do you cope with it? Do you rely on what you rely on week after week, day after day? That is your pre-shot routine. That's got to be absolutely spot on, as always. Can that see you through that bit of pressure that you have? I know it's something totally different because it is the Ryder Cup. But are you relying primarily on what you've done time after time after time and hope that that is enough to see you through that opening tee shot?
I suppose at the end of the day, you have to, it's trust, isn't it? There's a great deal of trust that has to go into someone who's standing in a position that is very, very daunting. You have to trust yourself and try to go through the motions that you've created over the years to get to this moment. And when there is all this happening around you, you know, almost baiting, you know, and the crowd singing and the music coming on, that is a really unusual situation to walk into. But you just have to breathe, focus on your target, but it really does. There's almost a wall in front of you where normally there's not a wall in front of you. It becomes incredible. It's such an incredible feeling that you've never had to deal with before, and you just have to try to trust yourself as the best possible thing you can do.
Difficult question, Carl. I know you wanted to ask me this earlier, but Jim Furyk and Thomas Bjorn will have a player go out there and hit the opening tee shot. Who would you plump for if you were either of those captains?
If I'm captaining this team, I send Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods out first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the European?
In hopes that the European team is throwing Rory McIlroy and somebody else out there, because Rory is one of the strongest players on the team. He just had to play with Tiger last week. Didn't have a great day. Last time he played in the Ryder Cup, he had an epic match with Patrick Reed. So I'm hoping that you're putting Rory and somebody else out first.
It could happen, couldn't it, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list and I'm thinking, right, who would, if I was captain, who would I put out? Stenson and Rose for me.
Yeah,
I think they're a very, very strong side.
Yeah,
I've been there, done it, and I think that would be who I'd put out.
I think that may well be the opening pair for Team Europe. I think you got it spot on there. We shall see when Thomas Bjorn makes the announcement along with Jim Furyk in the opening ceremony. Let's talk about the captains then and their role here this week. Let's start with the US captain, Jim Furyk, who's been outlining what he's been up to this week.
We've had a number of experiences, both as players and vice captains in this role. I think you take bits and pieces from the captains I've admired before me, and obviously we've learned along the way, and we'll both lead in our own character, in our own way, and draw from those past experiences. I felt like I was taking notes along the way as a young player, hoping one day for the opportunity, and I'll try to draw from all those experiences and add bits and pieces to this year and this team. It's never going to be about the two of us up here with the way we look at this golf event. There are 24 of the best players in the world here. It's about them in this golf tournament. Our role is a support role to help lead and maybe point them in the right direction.
Yeah, talking the we there, him and Thomas Bjorn at the press conference the other day. Carl, Captain Jim Furyk. Is he the man to end the 25-year losing drought away from home?
I certainly don't think there's somebody better qualified. You could probably have three or four other guys that are equally as qualified. But over the years, the teams for America, and for that matter for Europe too, the teams where the captain kind of takes on the role as the captain of depending on who the 12 players are, if the captain kind of converts to the teammates or to the team that he's got, those teams are great. When the captain tries to make the team about him, or the team kind of takes on the personality of the captain, those are the ones that struggle. And I really like what Jim has done. He's taken a lot of advice from the other players about the picks. Who would you guys want to play with? He's making them very involved, which makes them a bit more responsible.
Yeah. Then, of course, for Europe, he's a different character, a different personality, isn't he, Ron Thomas Bjorn?
He is, certainly. Of course, both of them are still playing, which I think is a great advantage, mm-hmm. because they're very familiar with the players, they play regularly with the players, and there is a respect as well. And Thomas has gone about it, I suppose the only controversial thing, if you like, in inverted commas, has been a couple of his selections as far as his picks are concerned. But other than that, everyone you talk to around the team at the moment, around the group, say it's absolutely fantastic. The players are, so full of enthusiasm for the event. They are clearly very supportive of Thomas. And, but in the end, it comes down to whether you win or lose and your record, doesn't it? You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. At the end of the match on Sunday, Thomas Bjorn will either be a great captain or he'll be, unfortunately, a losing European captain.
I think the bottom line is that I wouldn't like to know what Jim Furyk and Thomas Bjorn have been through over the last 18 months, 2 years, to try and put this team together. And the ultimate thing is the captain doesn't hit a golf shot. but he's not funny enough playing. But he has got a huge responsibility, both teams, to try to get this right, to try to comfort the players in a way that they're important and this is important. They all know that. And I think both men have and will have done a great job. But ultimately, it's down to the players on Friday morning to perform.
And Gordon, the role of the captain,
it's massive,
has changed enormously, though, hasn't it? If you go back to your time, when you played your two Ryder Cups and the captain's role then compared to what it is now, it's vastly different, isn't it?
Well, very fortunate, but because Jacqueline saw the European team needed to be treated a bit better than they were. We don't go to so many dinners. We treat this like a major championship. We treat the players like they are special, which, you know, when we look at it now, all these players are incredibly special. And he was a forerunner for now to get to the state of European Ryder Cup teams now. He was a forerunner for that. And now, you know, the American team and the European team are looked after brilliant. They're treated really well. And that is to treat them to have a path onto that first tree, that the first tee, that nothing gets in their way. And that's a tough ask to go down that road, to say, here's your path, I've done anything for you, go and play for me. You know, that's really hard.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Thomas Bjorn, speaking about the way he'll lead his European side this week.
I feel like in my role with these players, it's all about them. You know, I've always taken a position in where I've been on tour and in the Ryder Cup teams, it's always been about the 12 players. It's about what they do. And, you know, I'll stand behind them, I'll support them, and I'll be that person that is with them all the way. But it's about them. And at times, you know, you've got to lead, and at times you've got to say, well, this is the direction that we're going to go. But we do this as a group. We're one team that has one goal. And for us, it's a situation of just getting in that team room and getting them out on the golf course and do what they do best. My role is to be the support and the leader and lead them in the right direction where I think they should go.
Thomas Bjorn there on his role this week. This is Ryder Cup Radio, building up to Friday's first tee from the Western Tented Village, where we're right by the bar, which is fairly convenient, but right close to where the opening ceremony will be taking place on Thursday, as well as those relative captains will announce their four balls to get this Ryder Cup underway. They'll be introducing their team as well. So let's concentrate on the holders first, shall we? Let's start with the American team. Here they are. A couple of captains' picks in Bryson DeChambeau and Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, and Tiger Woods. There's no doubt about it, Carl. It's a formidable 11.
It is. I mean, who do you sit down? I think it would be a whole heck of a lot easier for Jim Furyk if they were playing alternate shot first, because it's a little bit more clear in my mind who you sit down. But now you're playing, you're playing four balls where all of these guys can make a lot of birdies. Who do you sit? I think it's going to have an effect. Because of the order of the play, it's going to have an effect on who plays first and who doesn't, you know, who plays in the afternoon.
Well, let's start our discussion of the American team then with who else but a certain Tiger Woods, the 14-time major champion, tasting victory for the first time in 5 years at the season-ending Tour Championship just on Sunday. He says his aim this year has always been to make Jim Furyk's side.
I was trying to make the team this year. I was going to be here either way at the beginning of the year because Jim asked me to be vice captain. To have now earned my way onto the team, to have not only the vice captains but all the players who want me on the team because I was picked, that means a lot to me. I feel like I've played well enough, but I still have gotten the nod from, you know, our captain, vice captain, and as well as the players. And so, you know, it feels great to be part of this team. This is a pretty young team, but also a team that has played quite a few Ryder Cups and President's Cups as well. So they've been through it.
Yeah, Tiger Woods, it's some story, some journey throughout his career, never mind the last 12 months, Ron. But here he is, back to seemingly his formidable best.
Well, his win on Sunday was his 80th 80th tournament win, 14 of which, of course, have been majors. And when you think that even great professional players, you know, Gordon won 8 times on tour, was a wonderful professional player, and I suspect will feel that, you know, 8 wins on tour, 2 Ryder Cups, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good career. Tiger Woods has won 80 times. Only Sam Snead could know what that is all about. And the reception he had as well on Sunday was just extraordinary, I think. We were watching on television, of course, but I don't think I've seen scenes like that in any sporting event where suddenly the crowd, all they want to do is to be as close to the action as they can, to get close to Tiger Woods, to see him complete this wonderful comeback. And his reaction as well when he knocked in that little putt and suddenly the realization hit him that here he was back again as a winner was absolutely fantastic. And of course he'll go about his business now. I've just been watching him on the putting green. I was talking to Gordon a little bit earlier and he was just hitting 4-foot putts as I was going past. I counted 30, went straight in the middle. I then went off, had a coffee, had a little break, talked to a few people, came back. And where was Tiger Woods? Still there, knocking these little 4-foot putts in, you know. This is his mentality. This is the way he operates. He's just a phenomenon. And whatever you may say, win or lose, however well he plays, I think it's just great to have him back, Carl.
Well, it's certainly great to have him back on the scope of the game across the world. It's more people are interested, more people are watching, more people are coming out to tournaments and buying concessions and shirts. And economically, it's a massive change. It's funny that you mentioned that the 18th hole when he's coming up, because it reminded me, as soon as I saw it, when he kind of busted out of the crowd, it reminded me of Arnold Palmer when he was coming out in the Open Championships, and they've got the guys with the lines, and they catch up to him, and he kind of gets swarmed, and he comes swarming out. And really, nobody has been liked in the game of golf. Arnold Palmer was the guy. Everybody loved Arnold. So those two guys, that kind of just reminded me of that old footage of Arnold Palmer, and, you know, God rest his soul, we lost him last year, but it was pretty cool.
Well, I think we are incredibly lucky to be able to see what he can do and how he plays the game of golf. You don't get these guys come round that often. 14 majors is an extremely difficult task over the last 2.5 years. And then to win on Sunday, it just puts another piece to the jigsaw. Now, has he got another piece to win another major? Who knows? You know, 14 majors, 2.5 years ago, he's never going to reach Jack's record. And now you'd have to say, well, you know what? He's got a damn good chance now, hasn't he? He is certainly back to an incredible golfer that can dominate tournaments. And I just think you're blessed to be able to go and watch him play, watch him practice. And he's an icon of the game.
And it really does seem, Richard, as if he wants to desperately play in this Ryder Cup, doesn't he? You know, he was desperate to get into the team. And, you know, his Ryder Cup record, let's be honest, is not great, apart from singles. His singles are excellent. But in the other forms of the game, it hasn't been a great record. But it really does seem, and judging from what he was saying there, that he was desperate to be in that team. And that's a good sign for the United States, isn't it?
Yeah, you'll hear some noise behind us as well while we're broadcasting here. That's because they're rehearsing for the opening ceremony that takes place on Thursday. Tiger's here. And Phil's here, isn't he? Phil Mickelson as well, who was asked for the reason why his relationship with Tiger has improved of late.
When we started to really work together to succeed in the Ryder Cup, going back even 4 years ago, and then at Hazeltine and last year at the President's Cup, those team events where we've worked together I think we both realized we have a lot more in common than we thought, and I think we both have really come to appreciate working together to achieve things, and I've really enjoyed my time with him. He's just, it's really been fun.
It was interesting in Phil's press conference, he almost said that he and Tiger wouldn't mind playing alongside one another again. Carl, you, I think, and Gordon as well said that wouldn't happen. Jim Furyk today said, I don't think so. So we're not going to see the old boys back again as they were in 2004. But what does Phil Mickelson bring to the team?
Well, all the experience. I mean, he's played on 24 straight teams when you include President's Cups with the Ryder Cups. That's invaluable to a guy that can come in and help the rookies and help the guys that have only played in maybe one or two Ryder Cups. The man still has game. He won a World Golf Championship this year. Finished very high in the points. Didn't make the team, obviously, in points, but he's a worthy pick. I think it's interesting on the friendship, though. He and Tiger get close when they aren't battling it out. If Tiger continues to play well and Phil starts playing well again early next year, don't expect it to be so chippy.
Yeah, they got that match coming up, haven't they? And Phil said he needs a shot a hole.
But right now he might.
Yeah. What about their form, Gordon? You know, Phil finished, I mean, you alluded to that, Carl. You know, he's won in Mexico this year, but that was very much early this year. I think he was last of the 30-man field in Atlanta. Patrick Reed, another one, maybe not quite in the form that he would hope coming in. Does it make a difference how well you're playing coming into the Ryder Cup?
Oh, there's no question. There is a certain dent in your confidence when it's not going well. Patrick Reed and Phil Mickelson have been religious of spending time on the range this week and trying to figure it out and maybe go on to the first tee a little bit more comfortable. But you've got, talking about Phil, he's got huge respect in the game, and that goes an awful long way of being in the team room. He's a big character. He's a huge character. Him in the team room, him as an aspect of the American team, is a great pick.
Yeah, another character, as we know, is one of the stars of the last renewal, Patrick Reed, believing his compatriots are motivated to win their first Ryder Cup on European soil since 1993.
I feel like it's a huge one, because the young guys don't want to have to go through what the old guys did and have it 25 years. I mean, we want to go out and play some really good golf and, you know, get more competitive overseas. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, we want to go in and put our foot down and go out and play some good golf, kind of like we did in 16, and try to win the cup and take the cup back home.
He's a major champion now, Carl. He nearly made it back-to-back majors, didn't he, earlier this year? He's an interesting character. He's an interesting story.
Yeah, there's no question he's an interesting guy. Real quickly, I want to go back to playing well coming into the event, because a lot has been said about the Americans, the four guys that finished 26, 27, 28, 20, and 30. Back in 16, Phil Mickelson finished 22nd in the event. Patrick Reed finished 24th in the event. So we had some guys that weren't playing all that well. Patrick Reed kind of reminds me of Ian Poulter. Listen, I would take him right in the middle of his worst 3 weeks on my team anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Captain America, after all.
Yeah, right. You don't get that name.
We're going to see his fingers up against his lips a few times.
I thought he was great at Glen Eagles, wasn't he? You know,
When
he was a rookie. Yeah. And he really sort of embraced the whole thing. But not just that. He really took it to Europe, didn't he? You know, he was the guy, after all, when it was all going, you know, it's fairly flat, wasn't it? But he decided, no, it's time that he got up the noses of the Europeans and whatever, and they got the crowd going. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, one rookie here this week for the Americans is going to be Bryson DeChambeau. He was asked what he expects to experience this week.
Well, this is my first Ryder Cup, so I don't have anything to reference it off of, but other than Hazeltine 2016, that was huge. I was up in the stands, and it was pretty big as well, but it was more on top of you, in a sense, where here it's a little pushed back, and so it's a little different, but there's going to be more people here. So I don't necessarily know what to expect come Friday, but I know that if my game is on, I'll be a little nervous, but I'll be comfortable. I'll be able to perform and execute.
Yeah, he attended the last Ryder Cup as a fan. He was actually spotted by Davis Love, wasn't he, in the crowd. He said, Bryson, is that you? And it was him. That was a pretty smart thing for him to do now in hindsight.
Well, it's a great thing for him to do. And I'm just looking at the team there, Team America. Jim Furyk has a grace to pick two rookies. Now, whether that has fitted into his goal of what he wants, where I think Thomas Bjorn didn't have that grace because he was inundated by rookies already, and picked Garcia and Wallace. I mean, God, you know, the only thing he couldn't be in a Ryder Cup year was a rookie, because he could well have been on the side. So I don't know whether if Furyk's team has come together better because he can pick two rookies.
Yeah, you're talking about Tony Finau.
Yeah, both, you know, they're picks, yeah, aren't they? You know, so, but we didn't have, or Thomas didn't have that grace. He could not put another rookie in the team. So, I mean, it's great that Bryson has, you know, embraced the Ryder Cup as a spectator. Did he pay for the ticket?
For the Ryder Cup? Yeah, yeah, no, he did.
Did he?
No, no. Yeah, he just kept, no one knew he was going to be there.
Good man.
Yeah.
Good
That's
man.
Fantastic.
Well, I think he can afford it, but yeah.
Well, in Furyk's case, too, the two other guys that were in serious consideration were also rookies. So
Xander.
Xander, and I think Kevin Kisner, up until the very end where he didn't play well coming down the stretch. But, you know, that bulldog mentality and the way that he performed at the President's Cup last year would have been a nice addition with Phil Mickelson. Easy to pair those two up because we saw it five times last year in the President's Cup. But, I think it's nice for the Americans that they had so many rookies that were being considered. Yeah. And maybe that will urge them on to make it on points
could
next
well
time.
We'll find out Sunday night, I suppose, but is this the best American team that's gathered before?
Man, I don't know.
Well, rankings-wise, it is, statistically.
Yeah, I mean, with where they are against players, you know, that they're currently playing against,
yes.
But when you try to cross generations with these teams, it's very difficult. It's an awfully good team. I think it might be the deepest team, let's say that.
The 81 team wasn't too bad, was it, Gordon?
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. Right, let's get the 81 team here at their best and play this team. Who would win? I mean, it'd be a tough call. But, I mean, I thought the 81 team, with the names they had, was an exceptional team. It is so difficult to tell because ultimately these guys have got to play. But the names always almost send shivers down the back of the European players because they're icons. But at the end of the day, you are playing Europe. Wonderful golf team when it comes to the Ryder Cup.
Well, let's go through that European team then, shall we? Paul Casey, Tommy Fleetwood, a rookie in name, I suppose. Sergio Garcia, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory McIlroy, Francesco Molinari, Alex Noren, Torbjörn Olesen, Ian Poulter, John Rahm, Justin Rose, and Henrik Stenson. We actually spoke exclusively to Rory McIlroy as he played a practice round here at the Golf Nacional on Wednesday.
Not a bad atmosphere for a Wednesday. It's incredible. You know, every Ryder Cup is special, and you know, especially this one for a few of us that experienced the defeat last time. So on a bit of a revenge mission this time to try and get it back. You can sense the anticipation and the excitement, and you know, we all just can't wait to get going.
And you know this course well, and you've had a practice round yesterday. How much of it are you really learning today?
I think today it's about, you know, we've had our first look at it, so we're going to play 9 holes today, 9 holes tomorrow. And it's more, you know, we had a first good look at it, and today is just about, you know, just getting a little more comfortable. You know, we're potentially playing with people that we'll play with in the matches, and just getting comfortable, even for foursomes, trying to talk about strategy and who hits off at what hole and all that sort of stuff. So that's really what today is about.
This means a lot to you, doesn't it?
It means an awful lot. I've always said my proudest moments on the golf course have been my individual achievements, but the best moments I've had in my career have been in Ryder Cups. The weeks I've enjoyed more than any others have been being a part of these European teams, and I'm sure this week will be no different.
Rory talking to Alison Walker there, and that last comment from him, Gordon, you feel like he, you know, sometimes you hear players say it, but you feel like he really means it.
Well, I think because generally we play as individuals week in and week out, and the next minute you're playing a Ryder Cup team, that all of a sudden it matters what your friend's doing, it matters what your mate's doing, who's been down the same road as you, and you're embraced into that team event, and you're embraced when you do well, and you are challenged when you do badly, but you do become a team. And the guy that I was trying to beat last week, I want him to do well, I want him to pick up points, so it really brings everyone together. So there's a Ryder Cup team that is trying to win it, and they want everyone to do well, but it just doesn't run that way in a normal tournament.
Ron, he was talking about this fake pseudo-animosity he has to bring because he's good friends with a lot of the American team, but this week he's got to make sure that they're the enemy that he wants to beat them. That's not easy to do.
In this situation, I think it is pretty easy, Richard, actually, because, you know, it's straight down the line. We've got to beat those guys. And you may see them every week, and some of them may be great friends, great colleagues and whatever, But no, I think when it comes to the Ryder Cup, that's the enemy. We've got to beat them. So I don't think it's that difficult to feel, come on, it's all about us. Those are the guys who are trying to take it off us. So I think he'll manage to make that. And the thing about McIlroy, okay, his form has been a bit patchy over the last few months and whatever, for various reasons. But when the guy gets his game together, he is as near the best as there can be. He really is a truly great golfer, isn't he? There's no doubt at all about that. And he's an inspirational golfer as well. He must have been bitterly disappointed, I would have thought, on Sunday, the way he played on Sunday alongside Tiger Woods. When he hit that first drive, 30 or 40 yards past Tiger, straight down the middle on the first, I think all of us thought, hang on, this is going to be a bit special. It didn't turn out that way, and Rory was hugely disappointing. He'll have that in his mind as well. But I'll tell you what, when he has his game together and when it means something to him and in a team event, he's as good as it gets.
Is he the man the American teams want to beat most, you think, Carl?
I don't think they're picking the guys out individually. I think it's a team thing. I think that if I were looking at it and I were a part of the team, when I look at that team, the first name I look at is Rory and go, okay, how are we going to attack this? How are we going to counterattack what they're doing with Rory? How are we going to put a team together that we think has a chance of beating Rory and whoever else it is that's going to go out with him? I think that's the name, the first name. If we can win 2.5 or 2 points off of Rory McIlroy this week, I think we're in great shape.
Yeah, you might not be wrong there. Five rookies in the European team. Tommy Fleetwood's one of them. He says he's hoping a recent personal experience will help him overcome the pressure of this week.
I was a bit overwhelmed when my wife was giving birth. I mean, what I can take from that into the Ryder Cup, I'm not sure. But that was probably the most overwhelmed I've been in a pressure situation, and I got told off for shouting too much, so I might try and keep it down a little bit this week. This is what we practice for and what we play for week in, week out. Like, the best piece of advice that definitely Poulter's given me, Rory says the same thing. He says it's the most pressure you'll ever feel. You know, whatever nerves you've felt up to now, times it by 10, and that's what you have. He says, but this is what you want, and this is what we play for. He said, so embrace it, take it all in. You know, that's what you've got to remember. It's not like, as daunting as it can be, it's not a chore to be playing in the Ryder Cup. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your career. And, you know, I'm very excited about whatever those feelings are. If it goes good or bad, I really hope it goes well, because I want to play well for the team. I want us to win the Ryder Cup. I want to do well for Thomas and all, you know, everybody that's involved. If it goes bad, then it'll be a massive learning experience, but that's not something I'm sort of worried about right now. Just whatever we can do for the team, we do. And, you know, it's massively different. You're here with, I mean, there's 12 players, captain, there's the vice captains, there's the backroom staff, and there's the whole continent behind you. You know, there's a lot of you in this together. So I think, good or bad, you're going to get carried through it all week.
He's not, Ron, your traditional rookie. I mean, is he? He's finished second at the US Open this year. He was the Race Dubai champion last year, winning on this golf course at the French Open. I mean, he's going to be, you would think, a real asset to Thomas Bjorn's side.
Oh, without question. He, just listening to him talking there, he's a sensible guy, isn't he? You know, he's very grounded. There's no airs and graces about him. He knows he's got a good game, and he does have a very, very good game indeed. And his approach to the whole thing sounds so sensible and is exactly what you need in this sort of situation. Of all the so-called rookies, he's only a rookie because it's his first Ryder Cup. He's played an awful lot of golf at the very highest level, and he's played well. I expect Tommy Fleetwood to be a big participant in this Ryder Cup, without question.
Of the rookies then, and there's Hatton, there's Rahm, there's Norrin, and of course Tommy that we just spoken about, is there anyone there you would worry about, Gordon, from a European team perspective?
For me, it'd be Hatton to an extent, because there is, I would say, he gets a little bit angry sometimes, and so I think there's, when you listen to Tommy talk, there's quite a lot of calmness to him, and I feel that if it's going the wrong way, can Hatton actually back off and actually reassess himself and get on with it, where he tends to be a bit fiery. So I think there's a time for fire, but that's when you need to be inspired, but not be fiery about the game you're playing.
Do you think the Americans underestimate Torbjörn Ottosson a little bit? He's probably the most unknown quantity as far as maybe the American public at least are concerned.
Yeah, I was going to say for the people that don't follow the game closely that are pulling for the United States because they're live there and were born there. Yeah, but for those of us that are have been around the game, you better not. I mean, the guy has a world class game, and he is very, very young, and he's just kind of showing the world what he's all about. I expect some big things from him.
Yeah, great story. That 2 years ago, he was driving Thomas Bjorn's buggy around Hazer team, and now he's a part of his 12-man team. Fantastic to. For Torbjörn Ottosson, fantastic effort this summer as well to get himself automatically in the team. Let's hear from another rookie this week, Spain's Jon Rahm.
It's a lot of emotions running through me right now, but obviously it's an incredible sense of accomplishment just to be here. A great sense of pride and humility at the same time, just because we know how much it takes to be in the situation. And you know, I couldn't be any happier to be sharing this with the teammates that I have. And, you know, I'm really happy that a lot of those people that, you know, were, let's say, peers in the game of golf, and I didn't get to know very well beforehand. You know, I'm getting to know very well right now, and are becoming really good friends, right? So it's even though I'm still a young adult, I'm still 23. I feel like a little kid again. So it's a great feeling.
He's such an exciting player. You talked about Hatton's mentality, if you like. Jon Rahm has, you know, had the odd moments where he's not been finding it easy to keep it together. But this is a guy, Gordon, that's been already third in the world. 2 years as a pro only.
It was nice to talk to how he talked about there and being in the team room with peers as well. And it really is an exceptional place to be when you're with Rory and Molinari, Open champions, and you get to share their space. And I'm sure that's going to calm him down and focus for the tournament. But as you're right, he is a little bit fiery as well. But that fire doesn't need to stop. He just needs to control it a little bit.
You played with Seve, didn't you?
Yes.
I mean, there was a guy who had some fire.
Yeah, he had some fire, but that was in the belly, wasn't it? And he wore it on his sleeve, and that's his hat as far as it got. You knew you were in a game, and you knew you were with someone who cared deeply about the trophy or cared about his golf, but he let his golf clubs do the talking.
Okay. Justin Rose, Ron, is, you know, we talked about Rory, but, you know, Justin Rose, you know, I know he's just lost that mantle that he's just got as world number one, but he's been a player that has always, when he's put on that shirt for the Ryder Cup team for Europe, has always been excellent.
Well, he's a very fine player now, isn't he? He wasn't world number one, albeit for a short time, for nothing. And he's played consistently well. Every time he tees it up now, you expect to see Justin Rose at the very least top 10, usually top 6, and generally top 3, and even winning tournaments. He's a very, very fine player now. I think he will, in many respects, be the mainstay of the European team. McIlroy is probably the most charismatic player, but Rose, I think, is the really solid guy around which the team is built. You can rely on him in any situation. He'll hold putts for you. He'll hit vital shots for you. He'll make sure the other players are right up for it in exactly the same way. He'll encourage, he'll calm down when necessary. I think in every respect, I mean, looking much, much further ahead, if Justin Rose isn't a Ryder Cup captain of the future, I don't know who is. It's as simple as that. I think Justin Rose is a great, great player for Europe, and I'm pretty sure he will be the mainstay of this team, win or lose.
He hasn't been left out of any session in a Ryder Cup in any of the last three. He's going to play 5 games, Justin Rose, and I'm sure he's got a big role to play. Here he is outlining that role for Team Europe this week.
If I feel like I want to say something, I'll say something, and if I don't feel the need to say something, I think that it's really important to be who I am, and that's going to be the guy that's hopefully going to deliver some points. That's what talks the most is earning points, leading by example rather than talk. So and that's what Thomas has encouraged me to do. He's just encouraged me to be myself, and that's why he's been such a fantastic captain so far. Is that, you know, even in the year leading up to this point, he just put a lot of trust in me to be ready for September. He didn't put pressure on me to play in Paris in June if it didn't suit my schedule. He didn't put pressure on me to do anything that wasn't right for me personally. Therefore, trusted all of my decision-making to get here and be ready and ready to play and ready to earn points. So, and that extends to the week and to the team room. Just be natural and be yourself.
interesting hearing Justin Rose there. Of course, we know what he's achieved. One man who really, I suppose, through the week so far, we haven't really spoken about much, is Francesco Molinari. We're talking about the Open champion. It was interesting, if I take you back to the World Match Play, Francesco Molinari said he wasn't very good at head-to-head golf. Do you think, though, the 6 months from then to now and what he's achieved means he comes here with a different attitude?
Oh, he's a totally different player now, isn't he? I think he's got a great coach and a guy called David Allred, and he's worked with Dennis Pugh as well. But the guy, David Allred, is a performance coach. And I'm lucky enough to walk a few holes with him, and really do. They write down every golf shot. They mark every single thing. He is incredibly well prepared. He's not someone who's going to knock you out in the first hole, but I'll tell you, he's still going to be punching coming down 18, as he did at Carnoustie. You know, he's an incredible performer.
And this golf course is perfect for him, isn't it?
Oh, you've got to hit your numbers here. You've got to hit the fairways. You've got to be able to hit your target. And he did, I mean, at Carnoustie, it was exceptional round of golf on Sunday. Hit his target all day long. And that is going to score a lot of points for Europe over this last 3 days.
We mentioned Justin Rose is going to play five sessions. Who do we think is going to play every match for whichever side here?
I think Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler are probably two guys that if somebody's going to play all five, we'll see. I think
Tiger?
It's going to be a bit more diplomatic on the U.S. side, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think we're going to have five guys that play every match and five guys that only play two or three times. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the majority of the players will play three or four times, and it'll be spread out a little bit.
It's a massive ask. It's, you know, what to go through foursomes, four ball.
Yeah, I don't think Tiger plays.
And then to say, now you've got to go out and perform on Sunday. I think, I know in 87 when we played, Langer says, I need a rest. You can't expect me to play four matches and then go and perform in the singles. And of course, ultimately, with so many points available on Sunday, it's a massive day. You can't have someone going in hanging a bit. So, I mean, you know, the brave players say, I need a rest. You know, it'd be nice to play five games and win 5 points. But reality is, we've got to look at it as a team effort.
Okay, remind you, 8 points up for grabs on Thursday. On Friday and Saturday with foursomes and four balls, and then 12 points with the singles on Sunday. Any possible pairings that you think are up Thomas Bjorn and Jim Furyk's sleeve? I mean, the Americans seem a little easier to predict to me, Carl, than maybe Team Europe.
Yeah, I think so. I think Europe has many more options, depending on what way, you know, and I'm not privy, like you probably are, to some of the strategies maybe that the European team will use, but I do think that the Americans, with who they have on the team, the pairings are a little bit more set.
Well, yeah,
that is perfect timing. Are you kidding me? That is perfect.
And you're standing already as well, Carl. What about the European team, Gordon? We drowned out a little bit by the anthem from the United States.
Yes, I mean, I certainly think one of their strongest pairings has been proven as Stenson and Casey. I would like to see Molinari play with Rory. I think that would be a great... In any way, foursomes or four balls. And then I think Rahm and Garcia should get a go together. I think Spanish, both talk together, both understand, same culture. That would be some of my picks.
Molinari certainly would be a great foursomes partner for anyone, wouldn't he? No doubt about that. If you wanted to play, partner anybody with Molinari and foursomes, I think it would be a good partnership.
It was the French national anthem, of course. Now, they're doing the opening ceremony, aren't they, in rehearsal? And, of course, we're looking forward to that when we will get the four-ball announcement, so we know for real who's going to play. Gordon, just a team and a score.
I think it's going to be incredibly tight, and I cannot go for anybody in Europe.
It's difficult to predict when you don't know the pairings. I would hope by Saturday evening that Europe has a lead, because I think it's going to be very tough in the singles against the United States.
Well, thanks to all our guests here on Ryder Cup Radio, presented by Conacom. Make sure you're with us Friday, uninterrupted live commentary of this 42nd Ryder Cup from Le Golf National. You can hear us worldwide via RyderCup.com, the official Ryder Cup apps. Later in the week, we'll be on TalkSport 2 in the UK as well. And we're across North America on Sirius XM satellite radio. But for now, from Le Golf National, from myself, Richard Kaufman, and the whole team here at Ryder Cup Radio, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ryder Cup Radio, presented by Econocom.